Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Sherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Live and local from Philadelphia. Free speech lives here. Here. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Away we go, live on this Thursday, March 21st. It is indeed Kale and Company, right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We are always live on the free Odyssey app, and of course, streaming live for your video viewing pleasure on YouTube. As we head until 10 o'clock this morning, 855-839-1210, the phone number. On social media, at 1210 WPHT, I am at Nick Kale, K-A-Y-A-L. Don Stenslin with the news, Greg Stocker, the chairman of the board, Phil Omquist, Anthony DiRenzo, our associate producers. On the eve of Radiothon.
Yeah.
Travis Mannion Foundation. Don, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Happy Thursday.
Gregory.
Yeah, buddy. Are you ready for tomorrow? It's a long day.
I know.
It's a long day. How you feeling?
Can I make it till 5 o'clock?
How are you feeling? Yeah. You're a trooper, buddy. I got you.
If I die, I die. I think that was what the Russians said to Apollo in Rocky IV.
Ivan Drago. If he dies, he dies.
If he dies, he dies. We got a lot of good stuff to get to this morning. A big take featuring Google, the game changer. Wait till you hear what's been going on behind closed doors at that Silicon Valley giant. We'll get to that. Also, chaos on Capitol Hill yesterday. Sans Hunter Biden. It was such a charade, I thought about doing the big take on it, but nothing was really resolved. So we'll just get to that at the bottom of the hour.
It's a clown show.
It's like a circus.
The whole thing's a clown show.
Unbelievable. AOC putting on a performance for the ages.
Our taxpayer money funding this crap.
Yeah. Also, Trump derangement syndrome on full display yesterday from one man who just couldn't wait until Donald Trump's youngest child became an adult. We'll get to that story. Also, some other stories in Florida with Trump at the Florida primary. Bob Casey and defund the police. And Nashville. How about this story? Remember our buddy, our friend, our pal from the Nashville shooting? And the manifesto that was never released, it's on the verge of coming out 1 year later. We'll get to that story as we continue. But before all of that, let's get to the news. Round number one at 6:03, the great Emmy Award-winning Don Stenslin.
And good morning. This Thursday morning, a chillier day ahead. We're starting out at 31 degrees right now. And we are sponsored in Kale & Company News Live by Anderson Mechanical AMC this morning. We want to update you as fire crews, a huge fire in Montgomery County, damaged 6 homes, displaced 6 families. Fire crews worked to stop that 3-alarm fire in Montgomery County late last night. And this fast-moving fire engulfed a number of homes there on the 200 block of 2nd Avenue. This is Royersford Borough. And they urged the public to avoid that area as the fire crews were trying to get it under control. And roads around the area obviously were shut down. Fire started around dinner time, so we don't have word of the cause, but we know many families have been displaced by that.
I'm sure it was easy for it to spread because of that wind last night, right?
Yeah, it was. It was so windy.
It was howling.
Oh, yep. It was awful.
So it was a tough fire for them to try to put out. 40 homes still without power. And impacted. We don't have any injuries reported. However, those families displaced, Red Cross helping out, area churches, a lot of people coming together in the community to donate items because they've, these families have lost everything. So we don't have a word of a cause of a fire, by the way, of this fire. So still looking into that one. We also have another fire, and this is a discovery early this morning. There was a call to put out a garage fire. This is Southwest Philadelphia in the Eastwick neighborhood. Led to a gruesome discovery early this morning. Firefighters responding to that garage fire. This is South 77th Street, right near SD Avenue. Early this morning, they found a charred body inside this garage. So they're now working to ID the victim, and the garage is said to be used for storage. So firefighters, at first, when they got there, they just thought it was a random garage fire. They get it under control. That's when they started searching and found, unfortunately, the charred remains of somebody. So a disturbing discovery there. We had the principal of Northeast High School, as expected, addressing the community, speaking out publicly for the first time in the wake of the school bus stop, shooting that injured eight students from Northeast High earlier this month. And those students continue to recover in stable condition. And it comes a day after authorities arrested that fourth suspect we've talked about in the shooting that took place at the bus stop there in Burholm back on March 6th. So the Northeast High School principal, Omar Crowder, speaking out and, among other things, saying, don't let this define you, but acknowledging that even though he's saying, don't let this horrific shooting of our students define you, acknowledging that 199 students in Philadelphia were shot within the last year.
That's just way beyond unacceptable. Almost 200.
Almost 200, and 33 killed. So acknowledging that and talking about the crime in Philadelphia, high crime, high violence, and so acknowledging that one. Other headlines I'll give you: yesterday, as expected, the Federal Reserve held those interest rates steady, opting to keep rates highly elevated as they say progress toward lower inflation has stalled. And that move pushes back rate cuts that the central bank expects to make sometime this year. But the Fed stuck to its previous projection of three rate cuts by the end of 2024.
We have inflation stalling, a.k.a. Bidenomics failing. And I also read yesterday that gas prices are on the uptick again.
Indeed.
Very interesting.
Yeah, and we talked about this, the fresh inflation data showing inflation did tick up last month. And that's part of why they're holding this steady. So the projection is by June. And so how fast could those rate cuts happen? We'll continue to follow that one. A lot of news yesterday, national news that I won't get into. I will headline that Judge Scott McAfee ruled yesterday. Former President Donald J. Trump, eight other co-defendants can seek review of his decision not to disqualify Fulton County DA Fannie Willis. And so that was expected as well. So we're talking about that one moving forward. I do want to get to the forecast, because even though it is spring, man, it feels like winter again. So we're looking at wintry weather today, 44 degrees. And as Greg had said, it is blustery out here. So bundle up. If you're headed out this morning, don't expect that it even feels as warm as it has been, for example, yesterday. So 44, the high, it will not feel like 44 because of the whipping winds. So bundle up a bit, a taste of winter on this Thursday morning. Tomorrow, 51 degrees for the Travis. Not that we'll be hiking outside or anything of that nature, but heading out the door for the big Travis Mannion-thon here at Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. 51 degrees for your tomorrow. Enjoy it, because heavy rain and raw weather moves in Friday night into Saturday, and we could see heavy, steady rain starting out your Saturday, affecting driving conditions. Some areas could see up to 2.5 inches of rain. Yeek.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Yeah, by this rate, I'll be golfing by May.
You need the indoor golfing.
I do.
That's what you need. Well, we are sponsored this morning by Anderson Mechanical Corporation, And we just can't speak highly enough about AMC sponsoring our news in Kale & Company News Live, a wealth of experience and dedication to their field. The professionals at AMC, they take pride in properly maintaining and repairing their customers' home. They are passionate. They're going to do a great job. Call them today. Schedule a spring tune-up at an awesome discount. Visit AMContheweb.com, AMContheweb.com. Thank you, AMC. Thank you, Anderson Mechanical, for sponsoring our first news of this Thursday morning, Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:10 on this Thursday morning. Let's get to the last big take of the week.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
And it's brought to you by Wawa. The Big Take, Google, the gigantic game changer. For a few months here on Kale & Company, we encouraged you to use DuckDuckGo as your search engine app instead of sites like Google. They won't track your searches, they are local, and they are the complete opposite of Google when it pertains to slanted search results and political bias. Earlier this week, we told you how a study from Media Research Center revealed that Google was found to have been involved with election interference 41 times since the 2008 presidential election. And every single time, they favored the far-left candidate who was the frontrunner for office. They buried search results for Republicans and also treated people like RFK Jr., Tulsi Gabbard, and Bernie Sanders differently. We've also been following the epic disaster that has been Google's AI chatbot and how woke Gemini has been. As I've told you all along, my biggest concern with artificial intelligence is not so much the machines or the robots, but it's the human input element. And we have further proof of just how tainted tech giant Google really is. Google is quite possibly the biggest threat to anybody, center of left or right of center. They meddle in elections. They put left-wing ideology and indoctrination into their search results. And more importantly, they alter facts and history. In my opinion, you can quit wasting your time on Bud Light or Tyson Foods. If you're going to boycott anything, boycott Google. They're a far bigger concern than a beer company or a food plant. A former Google employee has now come out and said how the Silicon Valley giant had a code red meeting and ChatGPT led executives to take shortcuts in Gemini's AI launch. The whistleblower said Google's AI was pushed up to leadership despite warnings, and executives abandoned the fairness to launch the product. House Republican Jim Jordan of Ohio is not having any of it. Here's a summary of what Jim Jordan is saying and hoping to accomplish. This is from Fox Business with Stuart Varney and Kelly O'Grady. Listen and watch this.
The documents from Google on its Gemini AI program and what role the government has had in it. Kelly O'Grady has the story. She's been following this for a long time. What is Congressman Jim Jordan accusing Google of?
He's accusing Google of working with the White House, essentially to build bias into that Gemini product. So the House Judiciary Committee is subpoenaing all the communication regarding the Gemini project with the executive branch or any affiliated parties. And this is part of an ongoing investigation into how deep the Biden administration's ties with big tech go. So this was interesting. Google itself has admitted to designing Gemini within the guidelines of the White House's October order regarding AI. They were even consulting external groups specifically because their expertise aligned with that executive order. Now, for some context, Biden's order said this: artificial intelligence policies must be consistent with my administration's dedication to advancing equity and civil rights. My administration cannot and will not tolerate the use of AI to disadvantage those who are already too often denied equal opportunity and justice. So consequently, the committee is concerned Google may be building bias into Gemini, right? You get a female Pope, a black George Washington. The company's long been accused of bias with a workplace culture that promotes certain views. That's according to one former Google employee we talked to who claims he was fired in 2019 for voicing conservative opinions. He's warning what impact that culture could have on AI.
Google, from my perspective, is hell-bent on presenting the world through only one lens and one prism, a left-wing, non-factual fantasy world. They don't even allow those who search for information on their website to be remotely attracted to another viewpoint, a different political affiliation, or a particular way of life. This is about systematically phasing out conservatism, brushing Republicans with a broad brush of negativity, and further building a one-way street of political ideology. They would love nothing more than to have a world full of progressives by the year 2032, much like the Biden administration's dreams of getting rid of gas-powered automobiles by 2032. More on that story coming up later in Kale and Company. But here are some more details from this Fox Business story. Quote, Google abandoned fairness and took major shortcuts to launch the Gemini AI chatbot despite internal concerns, according to a former high-level employee. Before release, Gemini, formerly known as Bard, underwent an AI principle review. The experts responsible for reviewing the model said it was unsafe and Google should not turn the AI on. According to the source, then-director of responsible innovation, Jen Janai, allegedly edited the responses and pushed the product up to leadership despite these warnings. And Resin previously reviewed internal projects to ensure compliance with Google's AI principles before it was disbanded. Janai said her decision was sound because it was a preview product and review steps for demos were not typical. Still, the Google source who spoke with Fox News under the condition of anonymity said her claim was 100% BS. Some employees wanted to examine Bard's data sets and embeddings because some initial results were, quote, concerning. One employee even suggested building a tool to determine what the data inside the model had learned, the source claims. They said, no, F it. We got to get to market because we are losing to ChatGPT, the source claimed. So you can't let a rival outwoke you. Hurry! We got to get to market. We're losing the woke wars. But it goes even deeper. Yesterday, the Free Press had a featured column titled, Google's woke AI was not a mistake. We know we were there. Former employees saying, quote, I walked around every day at work, policing my own actions and language. Google's culture is broken, former employees tell the Free Press. The Free Press goes on to write the following, quote, it was a display that would have blown even Orwell's mind. Search for images of Nazis and Google's AI chatbot shows you almost exclusively artificially generated black Nazis. Search knights and you get female Asian knights. Search popes and it's women popes. Ask it to share the Hutai slogan or define a woman and Google's new product says it will not in order to prevent harm. As for whether or not Hitler or Elon Musk is more dangerous, the AI chatbot says that is complex and requires careful consideration. Ask it the same question about Obama and Hitler, and it will tell you the question is inappropriate and misleading. The world has been horrified and amused by the extreme ideological bent of Gemini, Google's much-hyped new AI tool, with the company launching it last month. But Sean McGuire, who was a partner at Google Ventures, the company's investment wing from 2016 until 2019, has a different reaction. He says, quote, I'm not shocked at all, he told the Free Press. When the first Google Gemini photos popped up on my X feed, I thought to myself, here we go again. And of course, because I know Google well. Google Gemini's failures revealed how broken Google's culture is in such a visually obvious way to the world. But what happened was not a one-off incident, McGuire says. It was a symptom of a larger cultural phenomenon that has been taking place over the company for years. McGuire is one of multiple former Google employees who told the Free Press that the Gemini fiasco stems from a corporate culture that prioritizes the ideology of diversity, equity, and inclusion over excellence and good business sense. He also goes on to say that these ex-Googlers, as they are called, said that they would be discouraged from hiring white male employees, that DEI is, quote, part of every single thing in the company, and that engineers even had to list the DEI impact for the tiniest of software fixes. All of them agreed that the Silicon Valley giant entered the artificial intelligence race with an upper hand, but has squandered it by cowering to an activist faction in the companies that are more committed to advancing social justice initiatives than making world-class products, end quote. So is it another case of get woke, go broke? Likely won't happen for Google, who is such a giant, but it's worth tracking. Walt Disney, currently $116 a share. Google, $148 a share. Meta, $505 a share, and Netflix, a whopping $627 per share. Google won't go broke, but the mission statement of Google is very clear. It is the eradication of thought, speech, and the marketplace of ideas. They are in bed with the Biden administration and far-left politicians, and they don't even try to hide it anymore. If you are a Republican or just a free thinker, they should be considered by you a major, major threat. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
All right, the big take this morning. If you want to jump in with thoughts and reaction, you can certainly do so. 855-839-1210 on social media at 1210WPHT. And, of course, on YouTube, just go to youtube.com/@1210WPHT. Hit the like and subscribe button and be a part of the Kale & Company comment community. The big take brought to you by Wawa with Wawa's new built-to-order wraps. Oh, yeah, they are here. It's all the flavor you love wrapped up and ready to move with your day. Try an Italian or the Bacon Ranch Chicken Steak Wrap today. Because you gotta have a Wawa. I don't know. Maybe Hunter Biden was at Wawa yesterday. That's why he didn't make it to Capitol Hill. We'll get to that story as we continue. Kale & Company, Nick, Dawn, and Greg, live here on this Thursday morning on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Say goodbye to busted brackets because FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, lets you bet on every game of the tournament. Whether you're betting on a big upset or a number one seed, it's time to go dancing on America's number one sports book. This afternoon, I have Mississippi State, BYU, and UNC, just to name a few. Lots of games this afternoon. I love the FanDuel app. Right now, new customers can get $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. That's $200 to use on point spreads, money lines, and you can even pick who's going to win it all. UConn. Just visit FanDuel.com/Greg, FanDuel.com/Greg, and bet on college hoops until they cut down the net. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 1210 WPHT. 21 and over, President of PA, first online real money wager only, $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as an non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Kale & Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Kale & Company, Nick, Dawn, and Greg here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Final normal show of the week, Travis Manion Foundation Radiothon tomorrow. So we will put all the nonsense to the side for tomorrow's festivities and focus on what matters, and that is generating money for the great cause of our soldiers.
There'll still be some nonsense. Don't worry.
A little bit.
We
still can do like a cut sheet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we have confirmation, Nick Kale, if... and I put in quotations, President Trump is going to stop by tomorrow?
Yes, Donald J. Trump will join us at 8:30 tomorrow.
8:30,
to motivate you out there.
Gotcha.
To, you know.
Yeah, he's good at
contribute.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's good. I'm glad.
We're not going to get the Trumpster in normal fashion. It won't be a Biden bashing fest or anything like that. So we're looking forward to that. And then also, Patrick Murphy, who you saw in the debut episode of Kale Pool Karaoke, will call in at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. We were going to try to get him live in person, but he will be at Fox News throughout the afternoon doing all sorts of television hits in the afternoon. So looking forward to that. All right, so let's get to what transpired yesterday on Capitol Hill and who did not show up. Hunter Biden did not show up yet again for his public hearing. So a couple of things here. So yesterday you had this hearing, which had all the makings of a sideshow circus. You had Representative Jared Moskowitz, Democrat from Florida, who showed up to the Capitol yesterday in his normal suit and attire, but he decided to wear a Putin mask as he's walking through the hallways. Also, Tony Bobulinski, the former Hunter Biden associate, who claims that Hunter Biden was involved in his son's dealings with Joe Biden, sparked tensions early in the hearing when he accused Democratic reps Jamie Raskin and Dan Goldman of New York of lying. Then we had a full-on, fiasco between Bobulinski and AOC over the concept of RICO, whether RICO is an actual crime itself or, as AOC said yesterday, it is a category. It's not a specific charge. Now, a couple of things that come of note from this yesterday is James Comer, who said after the fiasco on X, quote, "In the coming days, I will invite President Joe Biden to the House Oversight Committee to provide his own testimony and explain why his family has received tens of millions of dollars from foreign companies with his assistance. So here's my reaction and thoughts from yesterday. This was, once again, another disaster for everybody. But really what it shows you is Hunter Biden is a coward. I'm just going to call it, and I'm not going to be trying to be a partisan hack here, but Hunter Biden, you, sir, are a coward, because this is now the second time you have not shown up. You don't show up yesterday after demanding a public hearing, because as you remember, Hunter Biden said, I want to do this in public so Republicans can't alter or manipulate or leak little chunks of my testimony that makes their story and their case look more appealing to the media. This after pulling the stunt on the Capitol Hill steps back in December, where you don't go in for your deposition, but you want to have a press conference and a press gathering on the steps. This to me was nothing more than another political stunt. And I believe, it's just my opinion, Hunter Biden is a privileged, coward, deadbeat junkie. I don't care about his drug addiction anymore. I don't care. I'm tired of this guy. And I'm also tired of House Republicans, where I get all this evidence, but I don't get the smoking gun. How many more episodes and charades do we have to sit through while everybody gets their 15 seconds of fame and their 90 seconds of microphone and camera time on C-SPAN before something materializes with this? And it's not all Republicans' fault. I mean, they can only go where the evidence and the facts take them. But the reality is this. The Bidens are a family of opportunists. They are nonstop liars. They have profited off of foreign companies. They have taken that money, dispersed it into shell companies. Also, people like Anthony Blinken are also guilty, in my opinion. Blinken used to be a Democrat operative, basically, who spearheaded the 51 intel officers that said that the laptop was Russian disinformation. And it was such a waste of time. We still had, yesterday there were Democrats actually still trying to argue and debate who the big guy is. Like, we're well past that. We know who the big guy is. The Biden family members, from top to bottom, took bribes and profited off of the Biden family name. They dropped sanctions. They were greasing regulations. They had burner phones. They had phony email addresses. And we have this debate of, well, RICO, is that a crime or is that a category? Well, here's the crime. Foreign and corrupt practices and bribery. Last time I checked, Alexandria, those are crimes. And they fall under RICO. We have payments that have been labeled as loans, yet Biden family members in testimony have contradicted that, saying there was no loans. These were just $40,000 in a check from China to Joe Biden. And of course, 10% for the big guy. You know, you go through all of this. And yesterday, what did we get? What do we get for our tax dollars? What do we get for electing these bozos? We get nothing more than Monday Night Raw on Capitol Hill. It was nothing more than a television soap opera. So, like, I'll say this. I think there's a lot of credibility to Bobulinski. He was ready to go yesterday. And Democrats just wanted to keep stepping over him. And this is my time. And I'm going to retract my time. This, that, and the other thing. I don't know about you guys, but I'm tired with all parties with this. And I know I've seen enough evidence to believe that Biden has been doing what he's alleged to have done. But yet we still don't have the final dagger. And I think for those that don't live it like us, until they see that final dagger, this only plays with people like the three of us here that consume this stuff way beyond a normal healthy level. So that's my thoughts from yesterday. I know we have some stuff on the cut sheet with AOC, but my God, what a production yesterday was.
What I will say about all of it, first of all, Bobulinski is the best last name ever, so we just love saying his last name.
I do. it rolls off the tongue nicely.
They've tried to destroy him, and what about, you know, those IRS whistleblowers who provided tangible evidence? Joe Ziegler, I remember, you know, we talked about, what was that, last summer, mm-hmm. when those IRS whistleblowers had testified. I found them credible. They have, I always look to motive. You know, what's somebody's motive?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here is an IRS employee who, and some of these individuals have said they've gone after them, their lives have been ruined, their career. What motivation did they have to come forth? Because sometimes in the past, you know, even though in the past when the whistleblowers, you know, testified against somebody like Trump, they were the hero, the unsung heroes of the universe.
Yep.
But I always look to motive, and I think, to me, those IRS whistleblowers, you know, they were saying that not only did that fit with the all of these allegations that these major shell companies were set up, it exposed the influence that a powerful family had. And that was the allegation, that look at how they were influencing other departments that they were not supposed to be, you know, reaching out to, trying to cover things up. I mean, there was a lot of evidence that came out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And those whistleblowers, I mean, like I say, their lives ruined.
Yep.
So what motivation? To me, they were very credible. And even though there were attacks on them, I still think their testimony stands as quite powerful.
I agree. And I look at Hunter Biden as well. He's had three different opportunities, and he's only shown up for one of them. He's making a fool of Republicans. He's thumbing his nose at the system and an entire party, and that's fine. You want to put on this performance, you have the right to do it. But at what point do we get serious here if you're the GOP? Because James Comer says, well, in the coming days, I'm going to invite Joe for testimony. You really think Joe Biden's going to show up to testify?
No. Of course not.
He can't put together a sentence. If anything we learned in the Robert Hur report is he has no recollection of anything in the past. So what is he going to be able to offer from a credibility standpoint or even a defense standpoint to say, oh, I never used my last name and as an influence peddling scheme? If he even shows up, which he won't, it's going to be a complete debacle anyway. So
to your point about Nick, about, you know, you don't see the smoking gun, that too, I would point to those IRS whistleblowers who testified they had searched Hunter Biden's, you know, the cloud, and that had led them to messages with those, you know, CEFC, the China Energy,
yep,
which is owned by the Communist Party of China, executives. And so through the WhatsApp. And so they felt like they had enough there to now lead them to the big guy, to, mm-hmm, Joe Biden. However, they were cut off.
Yeah.
And so, to your point, I mean, you know, on one hand, at best, it appears to me that they don't have that. Were they cut off? Yes. But they still don't have the goods because they were cut off.
It just seems to me that, like, remember when we saw the story come out of the poll results where, hey, had you have known about the Hunter Biden laptop New York Post story, would you have voted differently in 2020? And a lot of people said yes. I don't remember what the percentage was, but it was some representative sample of people that said, yeah, it might have impacted and flipped how I voted. So if you don't end up nailing Hunter Biden and end up having Hunter Biden end up in jail, or you don't end up impeaching Biden, which, by the way, I don't think either of which will happen, without getting those, quote, and I'm using this in air quotes, these convictions, you're not going to get anybody to vote differently for 2024. Because the casual observer that might know a little bit about the Hunter Biden laptop story that gets his news from Facebook is going to be like, ah, another Republican witch hunt. So
this whole thing last night, yesterday afternoon, was it was big online. It was huge on Twitter. It was huge on X or whatever you call it, Facebook.
But not in real life.
But not in real life.
I agree.
And it's just, there were, I don't even think Fox News carried most of it. I mean, it was such a bleeping S show that if you have something on him, do it. Impeach him, whatever. They don't have anything. So you're just getting these two factions of idiots yelling at one another.
I mean, it's like we have so many things that my personal conclusion is they're guilty of what they're being accused of, but you still haven't dotted the final I's and crossed the final T's. And again, I always go back to, well, what exactly? Nobody just gives you millions of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars or thousands of dollars. Anytime somebody gives you cash in a transaction, it's in exchange for a good, a service, a product. So what exactly changed hands here? We can obviously come to the conclusion that it was bribery, it was influence peddling, it was access to the government to foreign nations, but they still, no matter how much resistance has been provided, and there's been a ton, I mean, heck, you got Hunter just flipping his nose at the whole system, like, I'm just still waiting for the truly aha gotcha moment where the Biden supporter can't wiggle out the back door. I don't need the aha gotcha amongst Republican friends. I want to be able to say to the Biden voter, the Democrat, the supporter, so now what do you got? Boom. Where are you going to go? You've been pinned in the corner. And that moment hasn't happened yet.
And for the people that are sitting there online and stuff like that saying, the smoking gun is coming. The smoking gun is coming. The walls are closing in. They're lying to you.
Well, they're going to run out of time.
It's not.
Conversely, just like with Trump, I mean, Trump's going to delay all of these cases. None of these things are going to be finalized before the election.
Let's play a little bit of AOC and Mr. Bobulinski. Phil, if you will, start up with cut eight, my friend. Go.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Bobulinski, I heard your opening statement. It's submitted to the record, part of our proceedings. I have a quick question. Simple. Is it your testimony today that you personally witnessed President Joe Biden commit a crime?
I believe the fact that he was sitting with me while I was putting together a business deal.
Did you witness the president commit a crime? Is it your testimony today?
Yes.
And what crime have you witnessed?
How much time do I have to go through it?
It is simple. You name the crime. Did you watch him steal something?
Corruption statutes, RICO and conspiracy.
What is it? What is the crime, sir?
You asked me to answer the question. I answered the question.
No.
RICO, you're obviously not familiar with. Corruption
Excuse
statutes.
Me, sir. Excuse Para. Me, sir. Excuse me, sir. RICO is not a crime. It is a category. What is
it's
the
category
crime?
Of crimes that you're then charged
You
under
have charges.
A long hundred
You have charges. Statute. Sir, yeah. please
you want me to name,
name
the exact statute sir? Under RICO?
Yes.
Well, it's funny. In this committee room, everyone's not here. There's over 18
All right, sir. I reclaim my
lawyers
time.
That
I
went to law school.
I reclaim my time. I
I'll
reclaim
leave
my
it
time.
To you guys
okay,
to
thank
define
you,
the
sir.
Statute
I reclaim my time. Clearly, what we are seeing here today is a continuation of the 15-month saga of the Republican majority lost in the desert. Impeachment 101. The majority party or whomever is raising impeachment must accuse the president of a high crime, a specific high crime or misdemeanor. I would like to submit to the record HRES 918, the House resolution to open this impeachment inquiry.
Without objection to order.
This resolution does not outline a high crime or misdemeanor. It's not here.
I got to tell you, I think she's actually a troll from another planet that was put here to annoy people and make your brain explode. The RICO statutes, the Racketeer Influence and Corruption or Corrupt Organizations Act, is a United States federal law that provides for extended criminal penalties and a civil cause of action for acts performed as part of an ongoing criminal organization, to which that includes bribery and taking bribes as well as organized corruption. So the Biden family were peddling their influence, their name, the brand, the Biden brand, right? And receiving financial compensation for that. I mean, to me, Bobulinski came off very prepared there, and AOC is trying to argue that RICO is just a general category. What law school did AOC graduate from? Because she looked like a fool yesterday, and she got roasted. And I know it's just on social media, but she was the sideshow clown of all clowns yesterday.
I went. She went to BU, didn't she?
Did she go to law school? I thought she was a waitress.
I don't know that she went to law school. She went to Boston. She graduated from Boston University.
She did, yes.
Yeah. Okay. I've got no interest in her. Go back to waiting tables, clown.
No, I think she's. I mean, I think that she did everything she could That's just it.
Except she doesn't understand
this guy down.
But she doesn't understand the concept of RICO.
Oh, she understands it. She understands it. She's just trying to mess with him. She's trying to say that's not the. What did you see him do? I mean, she's trying to make him look stupid, and she's trying to make it look like he's a liar.
Well, I mean,
and that he never actually witnessed. What did he witness?
Well, Bobulinski was there when the big guy was on the phone. We've seen text messages on the WhatsApp. Joe was flying Hunter across the globe to these foreign nations. I mean, I don't know what other evidence people need to see. I understand what the goal of AOC is. Her goal is to discredit there and, you know, throw a stink bomb and, you know, deflect and do the whole bit. I understand the nature of the proceeding, which is a total waste of time and money and, you know, everything else for all of us. But my God, whatever. I was really going to use that as the big take yesterday, but like there was just nothing that materialized more than just the back and forth talking over each other. And here we are again. And Hunter Biden, that's the thing. That's the thing that bothers me the most. Three times now, and you've only showed up once. You talk about motives. What is Hunter Biden's motive, and what is he trying to hide? If he feels like he has done nothing wrong, I would be at every opportunity to testify publicly, behind closed doors, depositions, you name it. And this guy just clearly doesn't have that in him at this point. 855-839-1210 is the phone number. We'll come back. Trump derangement syndrome on full display. Because one man officially became an adult yesterday, and he got roasted for it. We're back after this here on Kale and Company.
The Bet Park Sportsbook app is an official betting partner of the PGA Tour. Next up, we got the Valspar Championship. This is in Florida starting today. So check the Bet Parks app for all the odds on your favorite golfer. And it's the only app, as you well know. It's the only app I ever recommend. Parks, P-A-R-X. Baseball is back. Can't wait for the regular season to open at the end of this month, coming soon. Join me right now on the Bet Parks app, the only sports betting app I ever recommend. Love it. Bet on all your favorite sports and make those baseball futures bets right now. You can wager now on who you think is going to win it all this year. So $20, $20 wager. On the Fightins pays out $300 on the New York team in pinstripes, pays $180 on LA, pays $65, and that $20 wager on Houston pays $160. New users, join me, download the Bet Parks Sportsbook app now and make a winning $10 sports bet. You get $125 in sportsbook bonuses back. So who wins MVP, Rookie of the Year? It's a lot of fun. You must be 21 in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Maryland, or Ohio. Gambling problem? 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
1210 WPHT, Odyssey app, and of course, live on YouTube. Coming up in hour two after Dawn's news in the 7 o'clock hour, we will get to a very, very disturbing case of Trump derangement syndrome on full display yesterday from somebody in mainstream media. Also, Donald Trump dominated the Florida GOP primary, but his numbers fell short of 2020. Is that cause for concern for a bigger case moving forward when we get to general election season? We'll get to that story. But also yesterday, the news coming down that the judge in Georgia presiding over the 2020 election interference case against former President Donald Trump announced that Trump and his co-defendants can appeal the order that denied the disqualification of Fonnie Willis. Fulton County Superior Judge Scott McAfee yesterday issued a certificate of immediate review, allowing Trump and eight co-defendants to seek an appeal of the order. The defense now has a total of 10 days to submit the application to the Georgia Court of Appeals, which will have 45 days to decide whether they will hear the case from March 15th when the order was issued. Steve Sadow, the lead counsel for the former president, said in a statement yesterday that the judge's decision is, quote, highly significant. The defense is optimistic that appellate review will lead to the case being dismissed and the DA being disqualified. Judge McAfee also said that while the defense pushes to have Willis disqualified, he will continue to address other pretrial motions in the case. So we'll see how this plays out moving forward into April and possibly beyond. 855-839-1210, the number. We'll come back. We'll kick off hour number two. Dawn has some news for the 7 o'clock hour. And then Mike Singleton of NBC News. Welcome to Kale and Company. We'll have a little conversation with you, sir. We're back after this here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.